Let's pray together. Lord, be with us as we consult your word, as we contemplate truth, and as we face the final days on this earth. We don't know how much longer they'll be. But we pray that you will embrace us through the Holy Spirit and through the love of Jesus for what is ahead. May the Spirit be poured out upon us in a mighty way today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked Pastor Brandon to help us this morning, and I want to ask you to help us this morning, okay? So, who can tell me why the world hated Jesus so much? Please raise your hand. We've got a microphone here. And so, Pastor Brandon, come on up a little bit here. Let's, come on, help me out. It's all right. We're in class today, okay? Is that all right? Did we see a hand over here? Did someone have a comment? Raise your hand up. Why did the world hate Jesus so much? Over here, please. John.
Disobeyed the Lord to begin with. Darkness overcame the world and the hearts and souls of men. Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, has dominion here on the earth. When we pray to resist him, he flees, he goes, he's been defeated on the cross, he's been humiliated. He's been put to flight, put to shame. The Lord says, resist him, and he will flee. The world is a dark place. Darkness is not embraced on it.
Okay, thank you, John. Appreciate that very much. The world's a dark place. Anyone else? Brief comment. Why did the world hate Jesus so much?
He did things that disobeyed the Sabbath laws.
That's a good point.
That he healed on the Sabbath, which was...
So these were religious people that
yes.
Did it because he broke his religious law.
Right.
Okay. One more comment. All right. Pat back there has a comment for us, please. Okay, we'll first here in the front, then we'll go to the back. Brief comment. Why did the world hate Jesus so much?
I'm sorry, I have a little flu. My voice is not what it was supposed to be. I think one of the reasons, there are so many reasons, but one of the reasons why the world as a whole hate Jesus is because Jesus is the truth, and the world doesn't like the truth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, one more comment.
I think they hated Jesus because he claimed to be the Son of God, and that really, really upset people.
Thank you. Don't run away, Brandon. We're going to read a couple passages in Scripture, and I'd like to have you help me with the... Okay. Who will take the first passage? It's a short one. All right? Over here, please. Pastor Brandon? Once again, we need the microphone here. Would you read for us, please, John 16? Okay. And these are the words of Jesus. Verses 31 to 33.
Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me.
Verse 33.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Isn't that great news?
Amen.
He's overcome the world. All right. We've got just a couple more we want to read. Do I have another volunteer this morning to read the passage from the Bible? Okay. Somebody? Well, John, okay. Charles, are you ready? We're going to read John chapter 15, verses 18, and let's go to verse 20. 18 to 20. John 15, 18 to 20.
If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hates me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. And you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. The next one.
Go ahead, verse 20.
Remember the word I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute you, they will persecute you. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teachings, they will obey yours also.
Thank you. Now, these are powerful words, aren't they? I don't believe that as Christians we should run around with a persecution complex, but I do think that we need to be aware of the fact that if we're going to be followers of Jesus, there are going to be those that just can't handle it. Okay? If we're going to be followers of Jesus in these last days, the world is going to be angry, and especially at those who, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, they're characterized by two things. What are those two things? Help me out. Yeah. Yes?
To keep the commandment of Jesus and have a faith of Jesus.
Tell me a little louder.
They keep the commandments and they have the testimony of Jesus.
All right, they keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. What are the two characteristics that will especially invite the vitriol and the hatred of the world? What are they? They keep the commandments. Say it with me.
They keep the commandments of God
and they have the testimony of Jesus. And if you go just a little bit farther to chapter 14 of Revelation and verse 12, why we are called upon to keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus and to also have a third element. And what is that? What is it? Here is the what?
Patience
of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Some versions actually translate it, this calls for patience on the part of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith and have faith in Jesus. I know I've told some of you this before, that sitting down with an engineer who is discovering Jesus, it's very exciting. And I've taken him some materials and he's so thankful. Writes me notes. He says, thank you for bringing me those books. And one day we sat down and we were talking about, you know, elevations and soil types and all this kind of stuff, but he said to me, where is the persecution of the church which the Bible speaks of? Now, if you knew his background and what faith he came from, it was a shocking question. I've never been asked that question by anyone from that particular persuasion. Where's the persecution? I couldn't answer the question. You know, you have to start with the letter A of the Christian faith before you get to the letter Z, right? So you just sort of, you know, what do you do? Well, let me share with you maybe one of the reasons why we don't have a great deal of persecution in the Christian church today, this morning. You know, I'm all by myself right now. Don't you feel sorry for me, please? Specifically, come on. Thank you. I turned on the television this morning to TBN. Do you ever watch TBN? Mm-hmm. Trinity Broadcasting. And I don't watch it very often, but I'm by myself, you know, and Kathy and I have just actually discovered Christian radio over the internet. Talk to me after church. Man, there's fabulous stuff out there. I mean, there's all kinds of Christian music you can listen to, and if you want the real stuff that looks, it sounds like the world, well, it's there. But I found a fabulous station to listen to. So downstairs I listened to that. Upstairs I gotta have company. I don't like being alone. So anyway, it's upstairs, and there was this preacher on this morning who said two things that really stuck. Now one I shared with Sister Elaine, and I told Elaine, this is what I want you to do for the offering call this morning. But she's not even looking at me. She refused. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
This minister stood up, he says, God is going to do a mighty work here today.
And everybody was raising their hands and saying, hallelujah, we need to do more of that. But he says, God's going to do a mighty work here today. He said, 100,000 angels are going to get into your bank account. Man, what an offering call. 100,000 angels are going to get into your bank account this week, Brother Ellen. And there won't be much there for them. In my case, they wouldn't get 50 cents each. Okay. The other thing he said, and he was a prosperity preacher. He said, you know, we need to think big. He said, the treasures of this world belong to us. And he went on to talk about the fact that he had 3 airplanes. Of course, he uses them for missionary activities. Man, if I had 3 airplanes, they'd be used for missionary activities during the week. But on the weekend, a jet to Acapulco. It was amazing. And this is what he said. He said, how are we going to live in mansions in heaven if we don't get used to living in mansions now? So he said, and he went on to talk about the house he lives in. Yeah. Not far from my home, a preacher moved into a $1.6 million home. Now, he may not have paid that much for it, but that's what it was listed for at one point. How are you going to get used to a mansion in heaven if you don't live in one here? Well, you know, it's, did you have a comment?
Yeah, you
got 1,000 years. You got 1,000 years to get used to it? Very good, I love it. All right. Yes, Pat. Oh. Yeah, but you must remember something. Jesus didn't live in a mansion. He lived very humbly. But you must remember that that was when the Christian church was just getting started. See, now we've developed and grown. Right?
We're a very small mansion.
As Jesus was in the world, so must his followers be. Doesn't mean you have to be homeless, but it does mean that his...
Well, you can't have money, you can't have a big home, but the Lord has to be first.
So we can have money, we can even have a big home, but the Lord must be first in our thinking. That's right. And those... followers of his kingdom. But he also says to them, and he said to Paul, Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said, command those who are rich to be what? To be what? Liberal. Generous. And we have the example of Nicodemus, ruler of the Jewish people, who apparently gave all of his wealth, or at least much of it, for the upbuilding of the fledgling church. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about something that, well, you know, if ministers were to go along with the religious calendar that's proposed by Christians of many churches and denominations, the sermon topic would be dictated by that calendar for every single weekend. Now, of course, there would be Sunday in their case or Sabbath in ours. There's a Sabbath for this and there's a Sunday for that and there's a on down. But this particular weekend, I said, I'm going to go along with the calendar. And you know what's on the calendar this weekend? Does anybody know? This is the weekend set aside to pray for those who are persecuted. If you go to voiceofthemartyrs.com, wow, and I have a whole file. How much time do you have today? We're just going to look at a few things. And by the way, I looked for information, Elvin, on the Pakistan situation. I have something from a friend that was... Has the seminary actually been taken over? Formally taken over? Okay, so the seminary in Pakistan has been taken over. Is that by the radicals? Radical Muslims?
Well, right now, the police are on the campus.
kind of police on a campus, but the Taliban came and took over.
Yes.
But the police came to occupy the campus.
I have a news brief from a Christian friend, a Seventh-day Adventist friend, bless his heart. Known him since he was in high school and I was in elementary school. Just a dear, dear man. Has loved God all through the years. Just never wavered, never waffled, you know, in his walk with God. He's in mission service, and he sent this news brief out that indeed the seminary, along with even Islamic schools and universities, have been under attack by the Taliban. And that, at least in the news brief that I got, the Adventist seminary, we have a picture of it in just a moment, we'll get the pictures up here, but that the seminary had been spared violence, but that apparently the police have come in to sort of occupy and hold off the Taliban. No students. It's gone. They're gone. One of the teachers actually wrote and said, we don't know what we're going to do. If we don't get tuition, then there's no money. And I think it was the principal or the president of the institution saying, how can I pay my teachers when there's no income? So these are tough days. We don't feel the heat here in North America. Oh, we may feel a little bit. Dad and Mom were in a store in Michigan, not now, a few years ago, where materials are provided for missionaries to take overseas with them. So you can buy, you know, hey, you know, in some countries of the world, paper towels don't exist, toilet paper doesn't exist. And so you can pick these things up and for pennies on the dollar and pack them into your stuff and take them with you, or have it shipped. The lady that was in charge of the storehouse, when she, you know, this is a Christian operation, when she found out that my parents were Seventh-day Adventists, she attacked them. A Christian attacking these missionaries, my parents. And she said to the couple that were with my parents, who were not believers, how can you hang out with these freaks? The Alverts had been friends from the days we were little. They had served the United States government as teachers at a school in North India. We met them at that time. How can you hang out with freaks like this? So we feel it a little bit, but nothing like our friends in Pakistan and other parts of the world. Well, let's get to the pictures, all right? And I thought maybe we would just sympathize today with those who feel the attack of Satan in a very strong manner. We are protected in this country. The reasons are many. One being that our nation has a Christian, somewhat of a Christian foundation. We'll be very careful with that, but Christianity was certainly involved in the establishment of this country. And this country has a constitution, and as long as we abide by the constitution, the hand of God will protect us in this country. Right? Well, let's have a look here. Oh, here is a gentleman. Gao. Hey, if you're from China, please forgive me as I butcher his name. It's spelled Z-H-I-S-H-E-N-G. He is a Christian attorney in China who for years has been defending Christians in courts. And since 2005, he has been repeatedly jailed, in and out of jail in China, because he is a Christian and because he provides legal help to other Christians who are in prison. Oh my, China presents such a challenge. And yet the church is growing, isn't it? We hear reports of the growth of the work in China, and it's very exciting, but they're under a lot of pressure from the government. So here's a man to pray for, as he himself has embraced Jesus Christ and works to help others. Now, while we're in China, let me show you this young man. This is Chen Li. a high school student, and he was expelled from his high school in Xinjiang, did I get it right? For refusing to denounce Jesus, a teenage boy. How exciting is that? A teenage boy who said, I will not renounce Jesus Christ, and was thrown out of high school. By the way, the internet website where I got this information has telephone numbers and fax numbers, cell phone numbers. How they got all that, I don't know. But they're inviting Christians from all over the world to call the headmaster of that school and fax it and say, hey, readmit this kid. Put pressure on him. Can we put pressure on as Christians? Well, there's going to be, you know, some on this side and some on that side of the issue. But there is one way that we can all put pressure. And what is that? Prayer. Prayer. Now, you may not remember the names of these individuals. But today, I'm hoping that we are sort of resensitized to the fact that all around the world, our brothers and sisters are suffering for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was shocked to read, and I questioned it when I first saw it, but now as I've been researching, looking at things, I'm inclined to agree that there is more suffering for Jesus Christ today in the world than there has been in time past. Wow. And yet, that, you know, those words in the Bible keep ringing in my ears that, woe to those who dwell on the earth! Because the devil has come down to you having what? Great pleasure? Great wrath. He's angry. And he's especially angry at those who keep God's commandments and love Jesus and have his testimony. See? But Christians of all faiths are hurting. They're in prison. And this young man, what future does he have without finishing school? What's he going to do with his life? And this is current. Well, let's go on. Are those pretty girls or what? Huh? I'm telling you, when I was a teenager, we would have Iranian girls come to India. And I'd look at them and say, wow, those are pretty girls! After Kathy and I were married and we went to teach at Spicer College, we would have Iranian students come to Spicer College because they wanted to learn English. They wanted to study in kind of an Americanized university or college, and they'd come. We had a lot of Iranian students. They were very good kids. They were good students, and they kept the rules of the college, which brought great amusement to Kathy and me because most of the students, a lot of the kids didn't bother to get passes when they went to town and all that. But the Iranian students would come and say, please sign my pass. But the Iranian girls were beautiful. These two young ladies from Iran, a few months ago, were arrested in Tehran by Iranian security forces. They were labeled anti-government activists, according to Farsi Christian News Network. 30-year-old Marzieh, and I cannot pronounce the rest of her name, and 27-year-old Miriam are being held in Evin Prison, which is notorious for treating women badly. Both women are allowed just a one-minute phone call each day to their immediate families. Both are unwell and need urgent medical care. In fact, Marzieh and Amaziah, I don't know which one she is here of the two, says she's suffering from an infection and high fever and says she is dying. This is relatively current. Relatively current. These are young people. Did you notice? A fairly young family man from China, a teenager, a couple of ladies in their late 20s and early 30s. Oh, we could go on. Here's a church that whose services are being restricted in Iran, the Assembly's church. Here's a story. This is a sad one. This lady embracing her daughter is in Pakistan. Asiya Bibi. Now, in I don't know Urdu, but in Hindi, Bibi means wife. And I grew up hearing my dad call my mom BBG. But G sort of it's an honorable sort of title. So BBG is be like saying my honorable wife. So BBG, I don't know why her name is BB, but maybe that's just her title as a wife. And she has appeared in court in Pakistan and been jailed because of her faith. She was working with other women, and during that time, the women working on this Muslim landowner's big farm, the other women were pressuring her to give up their Christian faith and become a Muslim like them. And she said, no, Christ Jesus died for the sins of the world. Well, these women began beating her right there at their place of work. Then she was jailed. False accusations were brought against her. By the way, that is one of Satan's favorite tools, is false accusations. And you can go clear back to Nabal's vineyard in the days of Elijah and King Ahab. You know, false charges were brought up against this guy. It's the way Satan works. And she was in prison. Here she's just getting a few moments of reprieve to hug her daughters as she's on her way to court. These things are current. These things are happening even as we speak. Let me see. We can't hit all the stories that I put out, but Pakistan is an area that, oh dear, East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh, a young girl, 8 years old, the daughter of a Christian family, and she herself is a Christian, an eight-year-old girl, is taken. This is dated 11/3/2009. When was that? It's a few days ago, right? All right. The young lady, 8 years old, was abducted by four men. They were Muslims, and forced into a marriage with one of them, 8 years old. The family has pleaded with the police and with the court system to get this little girl released. However, the courts are holding things up. You see, not only is it an act of violence against this little eight-year-old, but it also now entitles the Muslim man to take the property of the Christian father of the girl in time. It's incredible. My blood boils when I read things like this. Oh, so many. Let's have a look. Here's another man from Pakistan. Winning souls for Christ. And now is falsely charged with ripping pages out of the Quran and given a 4-year sentence. Or, you know, does he look determined? Yeah, he does. I don't know what it is about him, but it makes me think a little bit of Ed Cox. Okay. This is the seminary in Pakistan that we were talking about earlier, Elvin and I, that the police have taken it over, apparently to try to keep it safe from attacks by the Taliban, who are attacking even Islamic institutions that are not radical enough, for, you know, that don't share their Sharia law agenda.
I was about 4 or 5 years old when that was built.
I'm sorry, you were about 4 or 5 years old when it was built?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I remember it.
You remember? Wow. Thank you, Brian. Another story from Russia. We're going to skip over that one. I want to take you to Colombia, the country of Colombia, where my wife lived as a little girl. Now, that was back before FARC, which is this revolutionary army that is fighting the government, and the revolutionary army, FARC, is being apparently funded by Venezuelan oil money. So it's amazing. International intrigue. And it's a wicked old world out there, isn't it? But we've lost, in the last 4 or 5 years, some 300 Christian leaders in the villages of Colombia. Not just Seventh-day Adventists, but just Christian leaders. And the reason that FARC is singling out Christian leaders is because Christian leaders are encouraging their young people to become followers of Jesus. whereas FARC is trying to recruit them to become members of their organization. Oh, I didn't know that. And that's happening right now. Unbelievable. All across the Middle East. I don't need to tell you that all across the Middle East, Christianity just seems to, there doesn't seem to be anything going on. You take Saudi Arabia, for example. If you're, and I have the story of a man who killed his daughter because she confessed Jesus Christ. We say, how could that happen? Well, you probably read in the news about this guy that ran over his daughter here because she'd become so westernized. Oh, what a world. Yes?
Now that you mentioned Colombia, my grandparents, they come from there. My grandmother was a little girl when her mother converted to the Seventh-day Adventist. And the kids in the street will throw stone at them when they see them coming.
So your own family experienced persecution?
Yes.
Throwing of stones and rocks in Colombia. Mm-hmm. That brings it right close to home, doesn't it? And yet I'm happy to tell you that through it all, as I read at Voice of the Martyrs, here's what the leadership at Voice of the Martyrs was saying. They said, many of these people are not necessarily praying for freedom from persecution. What are they praying for?
Strength.
Strength to endure. Wow! That's amazing. They're not asking us to send money. Voice of the Martyrs is doing that. In many cases, bailing people out of jail and so forth. Really working hard. I really admire these people. Okay? But the people who are under pressure are praying for strength and asking us to pray for them. See? Our turn may come. Paul said, that's the words of God, all those, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will, what? Suffer persecution. And that can take various forms. It can take verbal abuse, misrepresentation, maybe throwing some rocks, maybe ending up in prison, we don't know. See? But through it all, these dear believers in these other countries, and some not so far away, are saying, pray that we may be faithful in time of persecution. Now this morning, what can you and I do? Well, number one, let's ask God to wake us up to what's happening in the world. And let's ask God to give us a sympathetic heart for those who are hurting and suffering. Families that have been split up, people taken to jail, some have been killed. Let's ask God to give us a sympathetic heart for those who are suffering. All right? Now, another point. Let's ask God to give us a deep love of truth. All right? Let's ask God to give us a deep love of truth. The Word of God stored up in the mind and in the heart are what is are going to aid us tremendously when pressure comes, whatever form that pressure may take. The Word of God stored up in the heart and in the mind. Now, we ought to also pray that God will hold back the winds of strife a little bit longer. Where does that come from, by the way? Can you tell me? Where does that come from? Does it sound like Revelation? If you said Revelation, you're right, okay? Revelation chapter 7, where the angels are pictured as holding back the winds of strife. Oh, they're blowing in some parts of the world. See, persecution in India. I've got several reports. Oh, I'll tell you one final story. I know it's 12:30. I'll stop now, I promise. But one dear guy, he was a Hindu at the time. He was bitten by a snake on the road. And it was a deadly snake. Whether it was a cobra, I don't know. But he knew he just had a very short time to live. And lo and behold, the villagers in the little village nearby who prayed for him were Seventh-day Adventist Christians.
He was so impressed that they prayed for him, and the fact that he didn't die, he became a Seventh-day Adventist. And he became a worker for Jesus. He would take bags full of literature, and he'd go into the villages and pass out literature and try to make friends for the villages for Christ. And the police arrested him at the request of radical Hindus. So he was arrested, taken to the police station with his bag. The police confiscated his bag, and he was thrown in the prison cell, which sort of like the Andy of Mayberry show, you remember? That the prisoners can, you know, they can see what's going on in the office, just right there, okay. So he's in the prison cell looking out, and on the counter is his bag. And one of the policemen pulled the pamphlets out of the bag just to look at them, just to see what this stuff was. It was causing all the uproar. And then he was distracted. He walks over here. Then, to the utter amazement of our dear friend who's sitting behind bars, he watches as other people coming and going in the police station take literature off the counter. And within a couple of hours, the literature was all gone. Okay. You know what? And that illustrates the point I want to close with. God is still on his throne. Amen? And he's going to work in every situation and in every circumstance for the good of his cause and the upbuilding of his word and for the blessing of his people. We must cling to the promises of God. In all things, God works. It's a little bit of a different translation than what you may have in your Bible, but my translation is more correct. In this case, I think I'm right. In all things, God works for the good of his people. He may not create the circumstances, and he may allow trauma. He may allow trouble. He may allow a crisis to come. And he may even allow some of his people to lay down their lives for him. But in the end, we will see that it's true, that God works in every circumstance for the good of his cause and for the benefit of his people. Do you believe that? All right. Now, another thing I want to say before I close. Do not let go of the Advent hope and message. Please do not let go. Around us, there is a watered-down version of Christianity in many areas, okay? And I'm watching carefully. I really am. I'm trying to keep a finger on what's going on out there in Christianity. I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see. As far as the trends. And there's some, you know, kind of feel like we ought to adopt this and that and the other. One thing I want to say. Do not let go of the Advent hope and the Advent message. It will bring down upon your head the rage of Satan. But as we sang today, and thank you for bringing our attention to the music of Martin Luther, his rage we can, what? Come on. Endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. All right? He's a defeated foe. And God's word is still God's word. Shall we be faithful? Yes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look around us, as darkness envelops the earth and gross darkness the people, we thank you for the shining examples of these, just a few people here that we've seen on the screen, but they're just a small sampling of the many who even now are standing firm for truth. They may not understand even everything that is involved in the great controversy, but they've taken their stand, and I know that you honor their faith. Your word has spoken to us that in the end, it's going to be those who keep your commandments are going to feel the intense wrath of the enemy. May our hearts be filled with an even more intense love of Jesus, love for Jesus, and love for your word.
Encourage us and strengthen us that in every trial that comes, whether big or small, now, that we will put our hand into the hand of Jesus and endure. May that be our experience, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.